We are grateful for your presence with us this morning here, not only in our church auditorium, but as you join us online. Thank you for taking the time as we continue to explore the Jesus touch. I think back when we had young children, and I think during those times when they were perhaps sick or in a situation where they were crying, and I know that as I think of times that Jeannie and I had disagreements about the kids and what to do. We had a child, for instance, who got sick, and they were sick for a couple of days, and so we would spend time holding those children and caring for them and giving them extra attention. Then they get over the cold, and then, of course, you know what happens after that, right? They get used to being held a lot more, and then they want more of that, and then they wake up in the middle of the night and they want to get picked up, and we kind of go through that cycle. Anybody else identify with that at all? The baby crying in the bed. And sometimes Jeannie and I would disagree on how to handle that situation. She would, like a mother, want to go and, you know, pick that child up, and I say, Jeannie, give Andrew or Catherine, just give them 10 more minutes. Just give him 10 more minutes. And she couldn't stand to hear that baby cry. I said, the pediatrician told us that if you let him cry 5 or 10 minutes, you go in there, you pat him and tell him everything's okay, and then you leave and go back to your room. And that was kind of lived out in our lives a few times. I don't know exactly how you handle that, but I will say this. It is clear from all the evidence that is out there, and I'm not saying how you handle that crying baby exactly, but the fact is, every empirical study that you can look at will testify to the fact that there is power in a touch with a parent with their child. Whether you go 5 minutes or 10 minutes before you pick them up, they need to feel secure. And in that touch of a parent, in that touch of a mother, studies have just come out recently saying that children cry less when they are held skin to skin. They sleep better. Their brain develops more. Moms are also more calm, and their stress level is reduced. It seems that they're more sensitive to their baby's cues, and the babies are more responsive to the mother throughout the first 3 months. They're recognizing their mother earlier, so the relationship between the mother and the baby is off to a facilitated start. And then this article goes on to say, it's same for the father, too. Think about that. Touch. That baby is in the womb for 9 months. 9 months. Surrounded, secure, feeling in true reality, the presence of that mother in that simple way as they develop. And that touch and presence is needed in so many ways after they're born. We know of a 4-year-old girl who is presently dealing with developmental issues, and some of them pretty serious. She has gotten better, and she has improved, not connected to this congregation. But she's dealing with issues that go back to being left alone in her crib for hours and hours and hours, just left alone. No presence, no touch, no interaction for long, long periods of time. There is power in a touch. So we've been talking about the Jesus touch, and we've been talking about the fact that Jesus came into this world, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, to have a real presence in this world and in our lives. And it wasn't only years ago when he walked this earth, but it's today as well. And so we looked at a leper who Jesus healed, a leper who was desperate, a leper who said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. We saw a man who was born blind. Once again, a man in a very desperate situation. A man whose life was relegated to begging. And Jesus came into his life. Jesus touched his life. And this man, once he received his sight, was never the same. Do you believe he can do the same thing in your life? Do you believe that Jesus is present and alive today and that Jesus is real? Do you believe that you can experience the Jesus touch in a way that will make your life totally different if you're seeking a different way? Do you believe that he can make you well? Do you believe that even though in a lot of ways you may be a very ordinary person, that he can do extraordinary things through you? Do you believe? Do you believe in the Jesus touch? There were these parents who wanted Jesus to touch, to bless, to hold their children. And I don't know every thought or motivation that was involved in the disciples pushing these parents, pushing these children aside. I don't know if it goes back to some of the thinking back in this day in their culture, and not necessarily as much in Jewish culture as in the Greco-Roman culture of that day. Children, in a lot of ways, were, to use that old expression, children should be seen and not heard. Parents had absolute rights over their children, fathers, to the point that if he did not want a child, that child could be left to die out in the wilderness, left on the street. And Jesus is in a situation where I guess the disciples are thinking, you know, Jesus has a lot of important things to do. Jesus needs to be about the kingdom business, and he has bigger fish to fry than these small children. They were maybe considered in some ways a nuisance. And yet, look at the words of Jesus. Jesus says, this is a place and a time to bless these children, to hold these children. These parents knew that there was power in a blessing, and Jesus wanted to show it. And Jesus wanted to give it. And Jesus, in essence, is showing us. He was showing them, this is how God is. This is how God feels about children. This is the place and the priority he places on them. I'm reading from the book of Isaiah, and God is encouraging Israel. And as he talks about restoring Israel, he says, you will nurse and be carried on her arm, and you'll be dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Here's Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel with us. And he is saying to this crowd, to these children, to these parents, to his disciples, this is who God is. God is a God who wants to take his children, his people, and he wants to hold them and care for them. And just as a mother holds that child close to her breast, just as that father takes that little child and holds that child on his knee, just as that parent speaks words of comfort to that child, that's what God wants to be for you. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about Simeon and how Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to present him before God as their firstborn. And I asked the question, how do we give our children to God? I talked about it just a little bit, but you know, how do we give our, our children. How do you give children to Jesus? I think about what we do as a church. And I think about the time that is spent with our kid men, our Bible classes. I think about youth ministry. I think about what you do, many of you in here right now, what you do as teachers with those children. Some of those teachers are back on this end of the building right now. And they have your children and they're teaching them. That's one practical way that we as a church bring our children to Jesus. I think about what we do in our involvement with Hope for Haiti's children. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, well, back in November when we talked about it. I think about the time and the effort that many of you have given to that ministry, whether it's being a part of that organization or working with a volunteer or going to Haiti or doing Christmas boxes, whatever that might be. Let's not forget, in a very real, practical sense, we are in the process of bringing those kids and presenting those kids to Jesus. When you as an adult take the time to look for a child, to speak to a child, to reach out to a child, I think of the context here at Northeast, you are, in a sense, bringing that child to Jesus. Have you ever been impressed with an adult speaking with a child who will go up to that child and get down, for example, just get down on a knee, get down on that child's level, and just speak to that child? What does that convey? That conveys that you are special, you are important, you're worthy of my attention. You matter to me. And those are the kinds of messages that we, right here at Northeast, can convey. Week in and week out. Coming in contact with children. Not ignoring them, but paying attention to them. I challenge you right now. And once again, I know we're in these times with social distancing and we're wearing masks inside and all that kind of thing. But I encourage you to make the time and take the time to find a child and talk to a child. Don't ignore the kids. And I think of what we do as parents. What you do as parents. How do you bring your kids to Jesus? As they develop, as they grow, they have these little minds that Rob mentioned in his introduction, this fantasy world, this sense of wonder. And I know there's a fantasy world that's a part of a child's existence. I think it's important for us to remember as parents or grandparents that our kids need to understand when they have this fantasy world in their life. And I have to be careful in how I talk about this because I don't want to say something I shouldn't and a parent be upset with me with what I say or what I don't say here. But we just got through the Christmas season. And there's that song, Santa's Coming to Town. He sees when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Yeah, Santa Claus. He knows everything, doesn't he? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. I know with our children, when they were going through this period of time in life, when there's this mixing of fantasy and reality, we always tried to make it clear to our kids that there is a big difference, even when they were young, between Jesus and Santa Claus. I hope I'm not messing up anything by saying that. It's true. Kids, I don't care if you're listening to me and you're 5 years old, I want to tell you right now, there's a big difference between Santa Claus in Jesus. And they need to know that even at a very early age. Their concept of God, their concept of Jesus is being formed. And it's important that they understand when we're talking about the reality of Jesus, there is a presence and a reality in Him that is totally different from any other reality. I remember putting one of our children to bed years ago when they were young, and one of them said to me, "Is Jesus like you?" Is Jesus like you? Wow. I maybe could have handled the question, "Are you like Jesus?" a little bit better. But it struck my heart. How real is that faith? I've challenged you, I've encouraged you with those children at an early age. Pray with those kids. Not just the word over supper, which is fine and good. Pray with those children. If you haven't done it yet, start. Get on your knees and pray with those children. Pray with them at night before they go to bed. Pray with them during the day. Talk about Jesus. Jesus needs to be real. Discipline your kids. But discipline your kids with love. Let them know that you have expectations for them. That God has expectations for them. That Jesus has expectations for them. But let them know that no matter how they mess up or may fail, you still love them no matter what. And Jesus loves them no matter what. And when you fail as a parent, and you will, are you like Jesus? That's a tough one. Let them know that too. One of the best things you can do for your children in bringing them to Jesus and experiencing the Jesus touch in their lives, one of the best things you can do is when you fail and when you blow it, they need to hear you say, "I'm sorry." Amen? Because it's in that confession and in that reality they learn in another way. Even if they are forming their concept of God or Jesus through you, that you're not them, but you want to be like them. And you want them to feel safe. Not spoiled, but safe. But you know what Jesus does here in this passage? And it is a profound shift in what is happening in this account. These parents want their children to experience the Jesus touch and be blessed by Him. That meant so much in that culture in that day. To be blessed by someone who had the gift, the authority, the whatever word you want to use there, to give a blessing, and it meant something. Just as the parents would bless their children and lay their hands on them and speak about God's work in their lives and what God expected of them and their future. He's talking about children. But He's talking about not just small kids, not just little kids. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. as an adult, as someone who's older, you can feel safe with Jesus too, because he's approachable. Notice what Jesus does in this instant. He says, let the children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That's the transition. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Anyone. So you may be an adult listening to this. You may be pretty grown up. You may be thinking you understand things pretty well. You have a better understanding and a grasp of things than you did when you were young, when you were naive. But this speaks to you and to me just as much, but in a different way than Jesus uses it when he's applying it to children. What did you mothers do when your children were hurting? They had a boo-boo. They're crying. Isn't it amazing what a little kiss can do for a boo-boo? Isn't it? They're crying. Come here. Come here. You want mama to kiss it? You want mama to make it better? Let me kiss that boo-boo. In a lot of ways, and I'm not trying to get too sappy or sentimental here, I'm just trying for us to understand the powerful concept of what it means to receive the kingdom and to come into the presence of God and have a relationship with God by becoming like a child. And there are lots of adults, lots of grown-up people with hurts and bruises and pain and fear who are wondering, can this guilt be removed? Can this pain or this wound be taken care of? Will I ever feel safe again or secure again? Does God really care? Does he love me? You know, those are adult questions. And I know some people struggle with that. You wonder. You wonder with your sin if God can truly forgive you. You feel like you've done terrible things. You feel guilty. You feel unclean. If everybody knew, you think about who I am, what I've done, what I've thought, how could they love me, much less God love me? It takes coming like a child. It takes becoming a child. What's at stake? Well, Jesus says it himself. You go to the way he expresses it in Matthew 18. He took that little child and he stood that child among them and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's some pretty serious stuff there. Right? How important is it to become like a child? Well, you may say, well, what kind of child? What kind of child? You know, that's when we're talking about becoming like children, really, that's a key question in the whole thing. What kind of child will I be? The Bible doesn't always speak about children and being childlike in a positive sense. Paul speaks to the Corinthians and he says to them on a couple of occasions, quit being like children. You need to grow up. When I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a grown-up. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And so, childishness, that part of what it means like being a child, God's not calling us to be more like that. If you're looking at this picture, He's calling us to be more like that picture on the left than the picture on the right, even though God loves us when we have that attitude. He doesn't want us to have it. And so, I want you to know this morning, I don't know what kind of pain or guilt you're dealing with. I don't know what kind of hurt you're dealing with. I don't know if you're struggling with accepting the reality of God's forgiveness and coming to Him like a child. I don't know what way you may have lost your innocence. It may have been in a painful way that you had no choice. And there are scars and wounds with that. You may have just made some bad choices and gone on the wrong path. And the reality is, we've all lost our innocence, right? We've all lost it. Parents, how were we, if you're like me, and you look at those old videos of the kids when they were little, how does it strike you? You know, you have fun, there's joy in looking at those old videos of the kids when they were so little and so cute and so lovely. But I tell you what happens to me sometimes when I view those videos, I have a tinge of sadness. And it's not just I'm sad that I'm older now and life is passing by. It's a longing for the joy of being innocent. Because here's the reality. Those kids grow up. They face the world. They learn tough things. We'd like to protect them forever, but they grow up, don't they? And they lose something. The Bible puts it this way, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need our innocence. And so Jesus says, humble yourself and become like a child. And all I can tell you right now, if you can just picture or visualize this in terms of the picture that God is trying to help you and me to see here, is that as children, we understand our littleness and we understand our need and we understand that we are vulnerable. And we understand that we can't do it by ourselves. You can't put a year-old child out in the wilderness and say, go take care of yourself. They can't. They have to depend on someone or something. And part of that may just be confessing our sin, our weakness, that we're broken, that we've messed up. Like a child. I may have told you this story, I can't remember, but when Andrew was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old, for some reason, Jeannie and I put a mousetrap with some bait on it in a place where a 2 or 3 year old toddler could go and get whacked by a mousetrap. Why'd we do that? I'm glad no one called the authorities on us. They would have, done something. But anyway, we had a mouse. We wanted to get rid of it. We wanted to put it in a strategic place. Andrew wandered all over. I think it was in the laundry room. And he was big enough to reach up and get the knife. So we told him, Andrew, we're trying to get a mouse. Don't touch this mouse trap. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? That's like God saying to Adam and Eve, don't eat from this tree. Sometimes the prohibition is an attraction, right? Well, it took a couple of days. Andrew's downstairs. We're upstairs. He comes running up the stairs. He runs past us, tears in his eyes, runs to his room, closes the door. Something's up. So we walk into his room, and he's sitting there with big tears on his face. And we said, what happened, Andrew? We knew. And he said something to the effect, I don't remember the exact words, but something to the effect of, I didn't know it would bite me. Confession. He tried to hide, but he couldn't. And so the thing for us to do was to explain to him, you know why we told you that, this could happen. But we also, at the same time, we took him in our arms and we held him. Others have hurt us, we've hurt ourselves. But God wants to be that parent. Jesus wants to be that parent who takes us in his arms and holds us. They brought the children to Jesus and he took them in his arms and said, unless you become like these children, you won't enter the kingdom. One last point, quickly. And I don't have much time to talk about this morning, but listen, I want us, I want the Northeast Church, I want you, I want me, I want us, as we become like children, as we go into 2021, I call upon us, as we become like children, to rediscover the wonder of what it means to be a child. The sense of excitement, the sense of wonder that so often is lost as we grow older and experience the hardships of the world, and we grow cynical. When we were kids, we believed anything could happen. I was Bart Starr in the backyard playing football. I was a star. Don't lose that sense of wonder. I don't want us, as we go into 2021, let's not allow 2021 or what happened in 2020 to beat us down. We need to live this year with hope and optimism and with a sense of wonder and excitement of what can be as we seek to live like children, trusting him. So God entered our space in Jesus. He continues to live today. He invites you to be his child. And Paul says in Galatians 3, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, because those of us who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Faith like a child. Let God help you rediscover the little child within.